Young Women Organization of the Church is for young women ages 12 to 18. Each year, a general young women meeting is held in the Conference Center in Salt Lake City and is broadcast worldwide via satellite to many locations where the young women of the church are gathered. In this meeting, the general officers of the Young Women Organization share instruction and messages. The meeting concludes with a message by a member of the First Presidency of the Church. This series features topical collections of stories from various general young women meetings. The topic of this collection is missionary work. Since its beginning in 1830, the church has grown into a worldwide organization. It started with a young boy's search for truth. In this first story, Sister Julie B. Beck talks about the positive influence the church is having in different parts of the world. This excerpt is from the 2005 General Young Women Meeting.
The work Joseph started was carried on by early members of the church who had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his restored gospel. Through their efforts, the gospel of Jesus Christ began to spread over all the earth. They truly did a marvelous work. But the day of miracles is not over, and the marvelous work is still going on. When we were baptized, each of us became part of that work. This past year, as I have visited with members of the church, I have seen that through the faith and work of simple people, the Lord's covenant is being established on the earth. There is a young woman in Korea who is the first member of the church in her family. She held her well-worn personal progress book and said she dreamed of having a gospel-centered family. A young woman president in Armenia is carrying out the young woman program faithfully, although she does not have a handbook of instructions written in her language. Members in Russia go to the temple regularly. They save their rubles and travel for days by bus, train, and boat to get to the nearest temple in Sweden. My 9-year-old niece, Kimberly, talked so enthusiastically about the church to her friend that her friend said, "I want to sign up for your church. Where do I sign up?" The young men and women in my own ward are developing leadership skills and talents. They're willing to sing and play musical instruments, give talks, participate in service projects, and do any number of other things so that they can be part of this marvelous work. And then there was the young man in Bogota, Colombia, who said, "I speak on behalf of the young men of Colombia. We are worthy, and we are preparing to serve. I have been where the church is small and where it is large in numbers, where it is new and established, but the responsibility of each one of us is the same. We are part of the true restored gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a work to do. We serve in simple ways, our testimonies grow, and we are part of this day of miracles."
Later in the same address, Sister Beck talks about her years in Brazil as a young girl and the amazing success of missionary work in Brazil since that time.
"In my own lifetime, I have been a witness to the miracle of the restored gospel. When I was a young girl, my family moved to São Paulo, Brazil, where my father had been called to preside over the Brazilian mission. It was an exciting time for me and a great place to grow up. A favorite game for me and my brothers was to dress up and pretend to be missionaries. We spent hours scribbling our own missionary pamphlets and preaching and transferring all over the yard. For 5 years, the nightly conversations around our dinner table centered on missionary work, and I listened intently to stories of faith told by missionaries. Even at that age, I knew I was part of a great work. There were only about 3,000 members of the church in Brazil when we arrived there. I remember being in a very small primary with a few other children singing the same 5 songs every week, as those were the only ones translated into Portuguese. 2 of my favorite songs were A Luz Divina, or The Light Divine, and something about a bunny in the middle of the woods. In many ways, our experience was similar to the early pioneers. We had no hymn books or pictures, nor lesson manuals sent from the headquarters of the church. Everything that was needed to teach the gospel in Portuguese was written and printed in our mission home. All of us, even the children, were pressed into service to help assemble mission newsletters and lessons. No one shipped the church to us. The prophet did not send us stake presidents or bishops. He did not send Relief Society presidents or youth programs. The church in Brazil was made from the same material that the pioneers started with. The material to build the church was in the people. During our years in Brazil, we saw great growth come to the church. Thousands became Latter-day Saints. Soon the mission was divided, districts and branches were organized, and new chapels were built. The new members were enthusiastic, and they grew in faith and became more experienced in the manner of the gospel. Well, a lot of years passed, and then last year, I returned to Brazil to attend the rededication of the São Paulo Temple. At that time, I learned that there were 187 stakes in Brazil. There are now 26 missions, 4 temples, and almost 1 million members. Imagine my surprise when I walked into a stadium filled with over 65,000 members who had gathered to hear President Hinckley and celebrate the temple dedication. To me, it was a miracle to see thousands of youth dancing and singing together. As I watched that joyful celebration, I kept saying to myself, "This is amazing. This is a miracle. How did this miracle happen?" I marveled all that night at what I had seen. And then the next morning at the temple dedication, I had a reunion with my primary teacher, Sister Gloria Silveira. That was when I knew how the miracle had come about. As a new convert with no prior church experience, Sister Silveira had come to primary prepared to share her simple testimony and teach me the articles of faith in Portuguese. She and her husband Humberto are still faithful. They have served in many church callings over the years, and they are still serving. When I saw Sister Silveira, I realized that the church in Brazil had grown because of her and thousands like her. She and Brother Silveira represent people everywhere who have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. They have grown in knowledge and skill, and they have served in the church. They have shared the gospel with friends. They work in the temple. They taught their 5 children correct principles. Of their 43 descendants, 15 have served full-time missions. Their grandchildren are now marrying in the temple, and their great-grandchildren are the 4th generation of Silveiras who are part of the marvelous work that was started by Joseph Smith. Because of them, faith has increased in the earth. They are an example of the miracle the Lord spoke about when He said that His gospel would be proclaimed by the weak and the simple, and that by small and simple means, great things are brought to pass.
If we're living our lives in harmony with gospel teachings, it shows. In the 2006 General Young Women Meeting, President James E. Faust shares a story about how mere smiles and friendly waves from a young girl led to very positive results.
We can let the light within us show in many different ways. It may be as simple as a smile. I recently read the account of a man in the Northwest United States who used to drive past a bus stop on his way to work. He began to notice a young girl among some children waiting for the school bus. Even when it was raining, she would smile and wave as he drove by. He said the young girl was tall and slim and about 13 years old. She wore a mouthful of braces, and I could see them glisten in the glare of my car lights. Her effort to be friendly gave this day a good start and was something he looked forward to. This man's name was Hankins, and he had a daughter, Cheryl, who was about the same age as the girl at the bus stop. One day, Cheryl asked her parents' permission to attend an activity at a local church. A neighbor girl, Vicky, had invited her to attend. the activity was MIA, forerunner of the Young Women Program. Cheryl enjoyed MIA and after a while told her parents that Vicki was a Mormon. It wasn't long before Cheryl came home from school and said that Vicki was sending two young men over, missionaries, to tell the family about her church. The elders arrived and taught them about the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith, and bore their testimonies of the restoration of the gospel. As a family, they began to read these new scriptures and were soon captivated by them. Mr. Hankins finally met Vicki. She was the smiling girl he had seen many times at the bus stop. She was present when he and two other members of his family were baptized. Looking back on Vicki's actions and those of other young people, Brother and Sister Hankins became convinced that the greatest potential for missionary work lies in the youth of the church. Brother and Sister Hankins have since served as missionaries themselves. They relied upon referrals and good example that the youth supplied. Vicki, the girl at the bus stop who smiled every day, even when it was raining, changed their lives forever.
The gospel light will shine through us. In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 115, verse 5, the Lord says, "Arise and shine forth, that thy light may be a standard for the nations." Next, from the 1997 General Young Women Meeting, President Thomas S. Monson tells about a young woman he met in Czechoslovakia who worked hard to share the light with others.
Several years ago, I was in the nation of Czechoslovakia. There, in an inspiring meeting held in Prague, under dangerous circumstances, and when freedom was curtailed, I met a young woman whose name is Olga. She was about 25 years of age at the time, and had in the previous 2 years brought to membership in the church 16 young men and young women her own age. As I met with them, I knew they were truly converted to the gospel. I felt they would be the foundation of the church in Czechoslovakia. They learned the truth of the gospel and felt the strength of testimony, all from Olga. When I complimented Olga and thanked her for having a testimony she's willing to share, she modestly said, "Oh, Brother Monson, I have 14 others with whom I'm working also." Later, I learned that almost all of those 14 became members of the church. The light of Christ shone in Olga's eyes as she encouraged others to come unto him.
From the Conference Center in Salt Lake City, you're listening to Stories from the General Young Women Meeting on the Mormon Channel. The topic is missionary work. Sister Susan W. Tanner now shares a story about Raluca, a young woman in Romania, and how her example affected her entire family. This story is from the April 2006 General Young Women Meeting.
In Romania, I met Raluca, a 17-year-old young woman who had recently joined the church. Her baptism was a happy event because, among other things, her whole family attended. Her mother and sister felt the spirit there and wanted to have the missionary discussions too. This concerned the father, for he felt he was losing all of his family to this unfamiliar church. So he did not allow it. And for a time, there was a feeling of discord in their family. However, Raluca remembered that she had made a baptismal covenant to take upon her the name of Jesus Christ. She tried to hold up his light by doing in her home the things he would do. She was a peacemaker. She was an example. She was a teacher. She was a healer. Eventually, her father's heart softened, and he allowed the others to learn more about the church. Then they too were baptized. And finally, much to everyone's joy, the father of the family also joined the church. At his baptism, he spoke and said that for a time, their family had been as two hearts beating at a different rhythm in the same household. But now, They were of one faith and one baptism, with their hearts knit together in unity and love. He gave thanks to the missionaries and members who had helped them. Then he paid a special tribute to his daughter, Raluca, for being so Christ-like in their home during that difficult period, for being the peacemaker, the healer, the teacher, the example, and the light that eventually brought their entire family to the Church of Jesus Christ.
From the 90th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, we read, "It shall come to pass in that day that every man shall hear the fullness of the gospel in his own tongue and in his own language." Everyone can do their part to help spread the gospel. In the 2004 General Young Women Meeting, Sister Elaine S. Dalton tells about a young woman in Mongolia who became an example of the believers in that country.
"As you search the scriptures diligently and pray always, you will be guided by the Lord. A young woman living in Mongolia listened to the words of the prophets as the missionaries read passages to her from the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon had not yet been translated into her language, but as the missionaries translated the words for her, she believed and was baptized. She became an example of the believers in Mongolia. Later, she was called on a mission to Salt Lake City. What joy she felt! She learned English, and she purchased her very own scriptures. When she visited in our home, she read reverently from her new scriptures. She loved them. I noticed that almost everything on every page was underlined in yellow. I said, 'Sister Sengasong, your scriptures look like the golden plates.' She replied, 'I only underline the things I like.' Everything in the scriptures is applicable to our lives. The scriptures answer our questions. They provide role models and heroes, and they help us understand how to handle challenges and trials. Many times, the scriptures you read will be an answer to your prayers."
In the 2008 General Young Women Meeting, Sister Susan W. Tanner tells about two young women who demonstrated how a teacher's influence on her students works both ways.
"Recently, I learned of two valiant young women who, as they lived the commandments and radiated the joy of the gospel, stood as witnesses of God. This is their story as told by a senior missionary at the MTC. She said that years earlier, she was at home one day ironing, watching a soap opera and smoking a cigarette when there was a knock at the door. When she opened it, there were two men in white shirts and ties, and one of them introduced himself as her bishop. He said that as he was praying, he had felt inspired to ask her to teach young women. She told him that she had been baptized at age 10, but had never been active. He seemed undeterred as he showed her the manual and explained where they met on Wednesday night. Then she emphatically said, 'I can't teach 16-year-olds. I'm inactive, and besides, I smoke.' Then he said, 'You won't be inactive anymore, and you have until Wednesday to quit smoking.' Then he left. She said, 'I remember shouting in the air in anger, but then I couldn't resist the urge to read the manual. In fact, I was so curious, I read it from cover to cover, and then memorized every word of that lesson. By Wednesday, I was still not going to go, but I found myself driving to church, scared to death. I had never been scared of anything before. I had grown up in the slums, been in detention once myself, and rescued my father from the drunk tank. And all of a sudden, there I was at Mutual, being introduced as the new Laurel advisor. I sat before two Laurels and gave the lesson word for word, even the parts that said, 'Now ask them.' I left immediately after the lesson and cried all the way home. A few days later, there was another knock at the door, and I thought, 'Good, it's the bishop here to retrieve his manual.' I opened the door, and standing there were those two lovely Laurels.
one with flowers, the other with cookies. They invited me to go to church with them on Sunday, which I did. I liked those girls. They began by teaching me about the church, the ward, the class. They taught me how to sew, read scriptures, and smile. Together, we started teaching the other girls in the class who weren't coming. We taught them wherever we could find them, in cars, bowling alleys, porches. Within 6 months, 14 of them were coming. And in a year, all 16 girls on the rolls were active. We laughed and cried together. We learned to pray, study the gospel, and serve others. These two valiant young women stood as witnesses for truth and righteousness, for goodness and the joy of the gospel.
These young women knew that fellowshipping is an important part of missionary work. President Thomas S. Monson now shares a personal experience about efforts of long ago and the resulting fruit today. This is from the 2005 General Young Women Meeting.
To illustrate, may I share with you an experience which took place several years ago when Sister Monson had been hospitalized because of a fall. She asked me to go to the supermarket and purchase a few items. I'm sorry, but this was something I'd not done before. I had a shopping list which included potatoes. I probably found a grocery cart and placed a number of potatoes in it. I knew nothing of the plastic bags in which purchases are normally placed. As I moved the cart along, the potatoes fell out and onto the floor, exiting two rather small openings in the back of the cart. A dutiful clerk hurried to my aid and called out, "Let me help you." I tried to explain to her that my cart was defective. It was only then that I was told that all the carts had those two holes in the back and that they were meant for the legs of children. Next, the clerk took my list and helped me find each item. She never left my side. Then she said, "You are Bishop Monson, aren't you?" I answered that many years earlier, I'd indeed been a bishop. She continued, "At that time, I lived on Gale Street in your ward and was not a member of the church. You made certain the girls who were members contacted me each week and took me with them to mutual and other activities. They were fine young women whose friendship and kindness touched my heart. I want to let you know that the fellowshipping you arranged for me led to my being baptized and confirmed a member of the church. What a blessing this has been in my life," she said. "And I thank you for your kindness."
We cannot know the great impact of small efforts. Like planting an apple seed, we don't see the fruit for years. This has been an episode from Stories from General Young Women Meetings on the topic of missionary work. If you have feedback or comments on this or other programs on the Mormon Channel, or a thought you want to share that may be used on the station, call 1-888-MY-LDS-321. That's 1-888-MY-LDS-321. You can also contact us by visiting the website at radio.lds.org. You're listening to the Mormon Channel. Tell your friends about us.